The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one-ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in America. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is John McDonough. With intricate guitar work, passionate vocals, engaging lyrics, and 25 years' experience performing in Austin, Texas, John McDonough has honed a modern singer-songwriter sound rarely heard. Since retiring from psychotherapy in 2011, John has released 5 CDs of original music, played over 500 gigs, performed in 11 music festivals, made several appearances on local and national radio, appeared on Fox TV's Good Day Austin, and toured the United States.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, John. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So you have a very interesting story there. So are you basically a Texas boy at heart?
After 25 years, I'd say yes, I am. But
all right.
I recently relocated to the Chicago area, and I swore I would never live in the Midwest again, and here I am. But so far, so good.
Well, welcome to the snow and the frozen tundra.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm born and raised in Chicago, but I think half the people I meet just talk about how they don't want to be here. So it's kind of funny.
Well, my family lives in the area, so that was a big part of the reason why I moved back. And I love Chicago. I always say I love Chicago in the summer. And I love the suburbs too. So far so good. Like I said, it's been good, and this winter has not been too harsh. So
yeah, that's cool.
I can't complain.
So what got you started down this path?
I always loved to sing. I always tell the story when I was a little kid, I would crank my stereo in my room and sing along at the top of my lungs like I was on stage. And I was always a creative person. I loved creative writing and things like that. So in college, I dabbled with the guitar a little bit, but in college, I finally sort of got serious and started really trying to learn the guitar and the piano and started performing and I was horribly nervous when I started, but at the same time I loved singing so much, and doing it on stage was even better. So that's sort of how it got going.
Okay, and what was your first love? Was it the guitar, vocals?
I would say vocals, and then the guitar. Yeah.
Okay. How did you get into vocals? Were you in the choir? Did you just sing like you said? Or?
You know, yeah, I did nothing. I was very insecure about my voice to the point of, like, I didn't even want to take voice lessons or be in the choir. I was so insecure about it. I just loved to sing. But in my early 20s, I did finally start taking voice lessons and got much more comfortable with it then.
Okay. And when did you kind of get into the guitar then?
I started the guitar when I was maybe 12. But like I said, I was also a big tennis player when I was a kid, and so music sort of took a back seat to that. And so it wasn't again until college where I started taking lessons and really trying to study it and become proficient at it. So a little bit of a late start, but that's really when I started really concentrating on it.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about, you've certainly done a lot of gigs. Tell us a little bit about these five CDs.
Yes. Well, you know, the recording process is interesting for, I think, for everyone. But for me, when you're in the studio, it really amplifies everything. So you hear the good and the bad. So I have a love-hate relationship with the studio. But I've gotten much more comfortable in the studio as time has gone on and as I've gained more experience. And now I've gotten to the point where I like it a lot more. And each CD I feel gets better, and I think I get more comfortable, which comes across on the recordings. And this last CD I did, I'm so excited about. It comes out tomorrow. It's called Second Chances, and it's an acoustic CD of some older songs of mine that I really liked, I'm proud of, but I thought they deserved a second chance, which is why the CD is called Second Chances. And so I re-recorded them acoustically, and it came out better than I'd hoped. I'm very happy with it.
That was great. Glad to hear that.
Thanks.
What do you think is your true love? If you could divide lyrics, guitar, songwriting, what's like the one thing that you get up and you just got to do every morning?
That's such a good question. I would say lyrics and melody and singing. I mean, I guess that's three. That's not one. That's not a very good answer, is it? But I think that's sort of where I go first. If I could only do one, I'd say let me sing. And then second would be lyrics and songwriting.
Okay. And John, tell us a little bit about your process. How do you start when you're writing a song? Do you start with lyrics? You start with the drum groove, melody, guitar riff? How do you get going?
First, normally I have a topic in my head. And so I think about it for a long time before I even start trying to write the song. But I think a lot about what I want to say in the song, and possibly even specifically some like specific lyrics that I've come up with in my head. And I really let that process in my mind for a while. And then I sit down with the guitar and I try to write the music and the words at the same time. I find that works much better than trying to write the music and fit words into it or vice versa. So I try to, I write the words and the music at the same time. So that's it, I guess.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about this song coming out tomorrow. Is this the one we're going to hear today, or is that a different one?
Yes. So this is one of the songs on this new CD. You're talking about Nowhere Else to Run, I think, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So this song, I was in Germany a few years ago in Berlin, and I went to this monument called the New Guard House. And it's nothing but an empty building. It's a neoclassical building. It's all gray stone. There's nothing in it except us. You go inside and there's a marble statue of a mother holding her dead son. And underneath the statue are remains of an unknown concentration camp victim and remains of an unknown German soldier. And I found this to be one of the most moving monuments in Germany. And so I came home and I wrote this song about it. And I'm very happy with it.
When you look at your influences, were you influenced by any old records or tapes? And if so, which ones?
Yes. My very first album I bought when I think I was about 10 years old was Harry Chapin's Taxi. And I would say I always gravitated toward the singer-songwriters, even as a young kid. So James Taylor, Harry Chapin, Jim Croce, people like that. And James Taylor's Sweet Baby James, that, you know, I wore that album out. The reason I learned to play the guitar, because I wanted to play and sing Fire and Rain. And so those are my main influences. And they're still the ones, you know, I go back and listen to today, all these years later.
Very cool. how do you figure out if a song that you wrote is going to make it out into the world, if you're going to put it on a CD?
That's another good question. I always joke with my friends that sometimes you have to kill your babies, right? Because sometimes...
Yeah, it's true.
I'll write a song and I have, you know, I'll have like a really... a big bond with the song, and I want it to work so badly, and I want it to, and I want other people to like it, you know, but sometimes it just doesn't work. So a lot of it is the reaction I get from other people when I play a song. And part of it is I just have to go with my gut too. If I'm playing and singing a song and it feels like I'm forcing it at some level, whether that's trying to force the lyrics or trying to force the melody, you know, I have to sometimes step away and say, you know what, this just isn't cutting it. And it can be really frustrating, especially if you put a lot of time and effort into a song and it's close, but I just can't seem to get it there. And I have to just sort of let it go and you know, move on.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're talking about. And it's a tough thing. I honestly think that that's one of the biggest differences between indie artists and the pros. The labels have all these resources of what's not just what's going to be a hit, because nobody can say that, but just what's trending, what's jiving. Oh, this is a cool story. We can market it. We can push it. Whereas sometimes us, you know, it's just you and you're looking through a list of like 1,000 songs and you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool and doesn't always jive with the public.
That's right. That's right. It's really hard. And like I said to you, sometimes, you know, it, and you probably have felt this, it doesn't jive with me. And you know, like I said, it'll be like 98% there, but there's just something that doesn't quite feel right. And if I can't fix it, I have to just sort of throw it in the trash, you know?
Yeah.
And hope that I got something positive out of the experience.
Yeah, that's true. I think one of the things I've learned too is time is the best teacher, because sometimes I think, oh man, this is awesome. And then I just don't listen to it for a week or a couple of days. And I come back and I'm just shaking my head like, what was I thinking?
Yes, exactly. And another thing that's interesting with some of these songs on the new CD that's coming out tomorrow, they're from two CDs, one that came out in 2014 and one that came out in 2016. And the songs that came from the CD in 2014 are sort of what I was talking about. They're, at the time, they were really good songs, and I made the CD because I wanted to make the CD. I've had enough time to really sort of tweak the songs and even rework them at some levels. And now I feel like the songs are 100% there. So I've taken a big lesson from that. And I'm sort of now I'm trying to, for example, I have 10 songs written for a new CD already, but I am going to sit with those songs for about a year until I go into the studio to sort of make sure I'm good with them.
Yeah, I get it. Tell us a little bit about your touring. So you did a bunch of touring. Were you touring on your own? Were you touring as part of another band, or you know, what were you doing?
Yeah, no, just me. I bought a little RV about 3 years ago, and I've had a great time in it. I've been out west, and I was up here a lot in the Midwest when I was living in Texas, and you know, so yeah, so it's just me doing a solo thing, and I love it. I love going to new places and seeing new places that I haven't been. And I love going to places that are my favorites, like Santa Fe, New Mexico is one of my favorite places in the world. So I've been out there twice. You know, I had a big tour planned for the East Coast that I was so excited about for 2020. And obviously I had to cancel it.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can make that happen towards the end of this year. That's my thinking right now. So sometimes, you know, sometimes it can get a little lonely. I don't mean to sound like the cliche musician or anything, you know, but sometimes it can get a little lonely. But I also try to plan my tours with, you know, I have friends all over the country, and I try to hook up with people that I haven't seen for a long time. So it's really fun that way too.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any new music videos coming out or anything like that?
Yeah, I made a music video for the song you're about to play, Nowhere Else to Run. I made a music video for that, and I'm really excited with how that came out. And I'm going to put it on my YouTube channel tomorrow, because tomorrow the CD is released. And so if people would like to check that out, I'd really appreciate that. It'll be on my YouTube channel. I don't know. Can I say what that link is now, or are we?
Yeah,
is
go it ahead. Be? Sure. Go
yeah.
Ahead.
So it's John M Live. So JohnM Live. And so, yeah, so it'll be up tomorrow, and I'd really appreciate people checking it out.
Awesome. What do you have going on in the next year or two, other than touring once COVID is kind of in the rearview mirror? Anything special you got in the works?
Well, the CD comes out tomorrow, so that's going to be my big focus for the next year. And like I said, I want to do this tour for the East Coast. And then the only other thing that I can think of that's a little bit out of the ordinary is I also planned to get to Europe last year. And obviously that didn't happen either. And I love Europe, but I've never played over there or done a tour over there. And so that is my goal for the next 12 months, whether it happens this year or the beginning of next year. I just want to get over there and play so badly. And I have a promoter there, and my music's, this CD's getting really great reviews in Europe. So, you know, I feel like the time is right. So that is my other big goal for the next 12 months.
Okay. One of our listeners, Dave, is calling with a question. He's asking, how do you get people to take you seriously?
That's a good question. Well, I think, you know, with time and some level of success, people will take me seriously. When they see that I've made this many CDs, that I've had, that I've gotten airplay, I have good reviews, and I've played, you know, 500 gigs in the last year. You know, when you have those things under your name, it sort of helps people to take you seriously. So, and then of course, I hope once they hear me, they'll take me seriously. But if we're talking about getting people to take me seriously before they hear me, I'd say my experience is what helps open the door.
Okay. Now we're going to listen to your song here in a minute. Anything you want to shed any more light on this song for us?
No, I don't think so. I think I told a story, and you know, like I said, it was so moving being there, and I feel very proud because I feel like I captured that emotion in the song, and I feel like it translates. Other people seem to gravitate to this song, so I'm very excited about it.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's check this out, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. Okay.
Okay, great.
All right, John. Check this out, everybody. Here we go.
It's so cold in here. No one ever speaks, and all I hear is the traffic through the door. Some days I get lucky, a little sun shines through and warms up my bones for an hour or two. Can I lay my head on your chest? I don't care what you've done. We're gonna live here forever. There's nowhere else to run. It's just the two of us now, under this cold, dark stone. We're gonna live here forever. There's nowhere else to run. We got nowhere else to run. I know you don't wanna talk. I'm gonna tell you anyway. I had everything I ever dreamed of before I got on that train. My baby sitting on my lap, my wife by my side. Those nights were all we ever needed, making love by the Rhine. Can I lay my head on your chest? I don't care what you've done. We're gonna live here forever. There's nowhere else to run. It's just the two of us now, under this cold, dark stone. We're gonna live here forever. There's nowhere else to run. We got nowhere else to run. My head on your chest. I don't care what you've done. We're gonna live here forever. There's nowhere else to run. It's just the two of us now, under this cold, dark stone. We're gonna live here forever. There's nowhere else to run. We got nowhere else to run.
That was a very, very cool song, my friend. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks for playing it.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell us a little bit about, you got this new CD coming, and obviously you can't gig yet. How do you get out there and promote it? Is it social media? Is it your email list? What are you going to do to kind of spread the word?
Yeah, it's both those things. It's mostly social media. And, I'm posting on Facebook and Instagram and posting reviews that I've gotten that I'm very humbled by, trying to get people to share some of this stuff. And, but it's rough. It's so frustrating not to be able to get out and play to support it. But I'm taking some comfort in that, we're seeing the end of the light at the end of the tunnel there. Also, I do some live streaming. I have a great setup and I can do some live streaming, and I can see when people are logging in, and they can ask me questions and I can answer them in real time, and they can make requests. And so that's another reason I love people to follow me on my Facebook music page, because that's where I do the live streaming. So that's how I'm promoting it now until I can actually get out there.
Yeah, that's really cool. If you're a young person kind of just getting started in this and you could do one thing, what's the one thing you think they should focus on first?
In terms of, you mean they want to be like a musician, and what should they focus on?
Yeah, they want to make it.
Well, my answer is not going to be sort of, I always tell people they have to focus on everything. They have to work on being a good singer, a good songwriter, a good musician, and a good performer, because the competition is so brutal out there that you can't really afford to have any weaknesses. And so you have to sort of be able to do those. In my opinion, you have to be able to do those four things to stand out. And I tell people, just work on your craft and keep working on your craft, and never stop working on your craft. And I still take guitar lessons to this day. And because, like I said, you just can't afford to have any weaknesses. You have to be a good musician, a good singer, a good songwriter, and a good performer.
That's so true, especially in today's day and age.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, basically the labels want you to make it before they'll sign you and put some money onto the fire.
Exactly. They want you to have a certain level of success before they'll even look at you.
Yeah. One of the things I like to ask every guest is about scams. Tell us about a scam that you want to warn everybody about or something you might have fallen for.
I'm older, and so I'm pretty wary of things. So I haven't fallen for anything too harsh. But I will say this, in terms of touring, make sure you talk to the right people. Make sure you get things in an email, because it's a real – this has happened to me where I'm out somewhere. You know, I was in Kansas or Oklahoma, and I showed up for a gig that I was booked to play. And all of a sudden, you know, they're telling me, you know, oh, we've got poker night tonight. You can start at 11. You know, ridiculous things. And after, you know, when you're out and you've driven a couple hours to go play this gig and then they tell you that, it's very frustrating. So that's the hardest one. And I say, if you're going to go out on tour, get things in writing, get things in email, be very good with your records. So if a venue sort of does screw you over, you've got something to try to get some compensation out of it.
Yeah. That's tough, because how many people have done gigs and not gotten paid? You know, it's like you want to get paid up front, but
yeah,
when you're a small fish, it's hard to be too demanding, but yeah, it's tough, man.
That's right. And that one, yeah, that one really was irritating, because I never even got the chance to, you know, to perform, to try to get, you know, even to get a few new fans, to sell a few CDs. I never even got that because they were having poker night. So, you know, so get stuff in writing and keep it. That's what I tell people if they're going out on the road.
Yeah. Okay. John, what was the last gift you gave someone?
I think it was for Valentine's Day, and I gave several things for Valentine's Day to my mom and my two sisters, but I'll say I gave my older sister this big heart. She loves hearts, so I gave her a heart that was made out of driftwood, and it was really cool. It was probably about 2 feet tall and a foot and a half wide, so it was a pretty big object. And the driftwood was beautiful, and the way they put it together was really cool. And I don't know about you, but I'm very lucky. Me and my family, we have, you know, everything we want or could need. And so to find a gift for someone that they're going to be really excited about is a good feeling. So she loved that heart, and it made me feel really good to give it to her.
Cool. All right, John, tell us a little bit about where fans can buy your music, stream it. Where can they reach out to you?
So my music will be, the best place to buy it is actually on my website, which is johnmcdonoughlive.com. It'll be on all streaming platforms. And I tell people, I set up a Twitter account, which is John M. Live. And if you go there, the very first tweet you'll see, the pinned tweet, is my website, my Facebook page, my Instagram page, and my YouTube channel. So it makes it very easy. My name is long and sort of hard to spell. So go to John M. Live on Twitter, and you'll see all my links right there. And you can choose which one you want to follow.
Awesome. All right, John.
And I'd say please focus on the Facebook page if you can, because that's the one I concentrate most on in terms of when I'm touring and when I do my live streams. And so if people want to follow me there, that's sort of the best place.
Awesome. All right, John, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been great.
You're welcome. So thank you, everyone out there, for listening and tuning in. I know your time is precious, and I really want to thank you guys for spending some of it with me and John. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called You Should Be With Me, Not Him. It's about pain, grief, and heartache. We've all been there. And we've all had lost opportunities. Some of us are lucky enough to get them back or wake up quick enough to realize what we have before it costs us everything and before they leave us. I hope you enjoy the show. I love you guys. I'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great night, everyone.
Tree wondering why you're not getting any sun. With congested eyes you relive the evening. My words echo in your ear. They were not ever alive, just a wish of mine. But you never trusted me like you love for romantic movies. You should be
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.